Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you. And we welcome in Jared Stillman to the program, as we do every Friday morning at 7 o'clock. Jared, good morning. How are you?
I am great. Has Joe had to check himself into an asylum after how crazy I have driven? And I'm just spinning in circles this week.
No, I'm good, man. I probably should just care less about other people. Like, you misinform people, you come up with stupid-ass theories, and sometimes I feel like, you know what, it's really not fair to the listeners who might think that Jared actually has a clue about something, and I should probably help them. But no, I think that this has been a good reminder that I just let it go, man. Let it go.
You deal in a lot of feelings. I deal in facts.
Oh, yes. Exactly. Yeah.
Now, you are
dealing in straight facts here, baby.
And the fact of the matter is, is that on Thanksgiving Day, your colleague Diana Russini at The Athletic posted,
we're gonna go through this whole thing. Again.
We're gonna waste another
15 minutes with Jared.
No,
okay,
no,
go ahead. Go ahead.
It does not take 15 minutes to get the facts out.
Yeah,
the facts,
the hard facts.
Diana came out with her report on Thanksgiving Thursday, which was that Mike Vrabel was going to be staying no matter what. I said on Black Friday that I didn't believe that, and they ended up firing Mike Vrabel, so I was right.
Well, I guess that is true. Those things did happen.
So wait, because you with everything, like, I don't believe it. Ah, nah, that's not going to happen. And then again, when the broken clock is right twice a day, the broken clock is always right. That's what we're saying.
I mean, you can say whatever you want to say. I'm just telling you the facts say that I'm right.
Right. The facts, Jared, are that yesterday
everything that was reported
show,
in The Athletic was true 100% of the time.
I'm glad you said that. You actually played a clip of me yesterday saying, now look, people lie. I mean, when you do any story, whether you quote someone anonymously or use their name, I mean, we have people quoted using their name who lie. I said that. And then Jared said, Joe says they're always telling the truth no matter what. Well, you just played a clip of me saying that they don't. I understand it. And then you can't even listen to what you pick out.
Because people do lie sometimes, but they're not lying to me. Here's the story that I wrote that has to be 100% the truth because these people off the record who wouldn't put their name on it told me this, so it must be true.
Yeah.
That's like CNBC disclaimer that says, hey, talk to your stockbroker before making these decisions. And then they go on TV and they're like, buy, 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 buy.
You know what's great, Robbie, is that like Jared always hits the fringes like this. Oh, yeah, the anonymous or whatever. He still has not given anyone a reasonable answer at all why you would come out and say, hey, we're keeping our coach. We want to make sure we go out of our way and tell all these media people we're keeping our coach. But we know we're actually firing our coach.
I would love to know
weeks.
Your thoughts on why you think Amy Adams Strunk would do that, Jared.
You have not come up with one reasonable answer to this.
So, Robbie, if you
through
remember,
all this crap that's coming out of your mouth.
If you remember, I said to you, and I said on the air, but I said to you after the Jacksonville game on the road, which I want to say was before Thanksgiving, but I'm not completely sure it was or wasn't. I mean,
I believe you're correct.
And I said to you, I go, if I own the team, I remember telling you specifically, Robbie, I said at 5 o'clock the Monday after the Jags game, I said, if I own the team, I'd be ready to clean house at the end of the year. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't like, you know.
So, again, let's talk about something else. Let's not answer the question. Let's talk about stuff on the fringes.
So,
wasting our time.
I told Robbie that I would be prepared to do that. So, then my logic was, if I own the team, I said I would be prepared to fire Mike Vrabel. And then when they lost to the JV Texans, that was when I said, if I own the team, I'm cleaning house the day after the season's over. But I would do the exact opposite publicly. And I would tell everybody, oh, no, Vrabel's our coach. We love him. Because we, at the time, you know, Charles Robinson was incorrectly informing us that Vrabel was worth 2 first-round picks on the open market. I would want somebody to call me and say, hey, are you sure you're keeping Vrabel? Because Vrabel's unhappy. He's complaining to the Boston media every time he gets an opportunity. He looks miserable in these press conferences. He's yelling at the little fat kid on the radio all the time. I clearly he's not happy. So why don't you, would you be interested? And I don't know.
Robbie, help me out, man. This is just the dumbest crap.
And then get my 2 first-round picks of Vrabel. If everybody knows I'm going to fire Vrabel and everybody knows I hate Vrabel, they're not going to offer me anything for Vrabel.
I like Zach here. The Stillmantics are at an all-time high right now. Seriously.
That's good.
Like, you have nothing. You
Other than
listen,
I was right and your publication was wrong.
The publication was wrong?
Yes. Ready, steady, Vrabel.
Yeah. Jared, there's not one person who could possibly agree with you because it's so dumb. There are times, Jared, look, we all say things that are stupid. I do all the time. You've got to embrace taking an L sometimes and just moving on from something.
I don't understand what's stupid about this when I was right.
You were right that you said that you think
you,
that he should be fired.
You guys in the press corps did not even ask Vrabel after the Jacksonville game about his job status because you all were so convinced that he was coming back. I mean, God bless Teresa Walker. I love her with all my heart. I hope she's doing a great job at the Olympics right now. But she, I wanted to rip my head off when I said after the Texans game that I would fire Vrabel. I mean, I was the only one that was like, I think somebody's getting fired. And you guys didn't think it. You guys didn't even ask it.
Again,
and then you defended
not asking.
You're
talking about a second Jacksonville game.
Let's talk about things that are not what we're talking about, but okay.
This is exactly what we're talking about. What we're talking about is that I was right. I had my finger on the pulse of this team. I knew they were lying. I said they were lying. They lied. I was right.
Yeah, Jared.
Your point is that they
didn't
lie.
Jared, no.
They told the truth the one day on Thanksgiving that they thought they
were
going to keep Vrabel, but every other day throughout the year, they were considering firing.
I mean, it's amazing how you twist things. We've seen 2 years, Jared. 2 years. And I love how it's like I'm the homer because I ripped Amy Adams Strunk for 2 years of being indecisive and being a bad owner. Because that's what the story is, that she keeps changing her mind. And you now want to give her a pass that she actually had this diabolical plan to lie. It's so dumb. It's embarrassing.
No,
I'm embarrassed for
it's
you.
It's not a pass.
Shut up. Stop
it's not
it.
A pass. Because what it was, and trust me, I mean, I don't think people over there were very happy with me saying, like, yeah, I mean, the Titans can say to Diana whatever they want to say. I don't believe them because they lied about the last coach.
But, again, that which has nothing to do with this thing.
No, it has everything to do with it,
Joe. No, it does not. It does not.
If somebody lies to you about something.
There's no logic in lying at that point. There's no logic in going out of your way to lie if you know what's going to happen. There is zero logic in it, which is why you're the only person who would go with something so stupid.
Unless your media bozos are telling people that he's worth 2 first-round picks on the trade market.
Huh?
I said,
Robbie,
there's
help
no
me.
Reason
done.
To lie about
I'm
this.
I'm done, Robbie.
Unless your
Yell at
media
him.
Bozos
or hang up
are
on him.
Telling people.
Yell at him or hang up on him. I'm done.
That are telling
take
people
an
he's
L
worth
in
two
life.
First-round picks.
Take some L's in life,
no,
Jared. We
L,
all have to take
the
L's.
The L is Diana writing Ready, Steady, Vrabel. That's the L. The L is Charles coming on every week saying teams will fire their coach to go hire Mike Vrabel.
I'm sure he just made that up.
That's the L.
Did he
because
just make
that
up?
Stuff didn't happen, Joe.
That's true.
What I said I didn't believe ended up being true. So even if the broken clock is right, I get the W because I was right.
we have Titans training camp going on right now. And you've decided to just turn this into some thing, which
it's
dead and gone.
This is about you.
It's not about me.
Yes, it is. You're the one who keeps doing that. I mean, I wasn't even thinking about this, and I got in my car yesterday, and I just hear cuts of me before the Rex rant. Yeah, I'm like, oh, what did I do this time? And then you just went all crazy on this whole rant about how she wanted to fire Vrabel
every day
of
the
year, except for
the
Thursday.
You did this at the presser.
That she told Diana she wasn't going to fire him.
Right. So, again, your story is she was actually going to fire him all along. It was all fire Vrabel. It was all a ruse. It was just a fake year with Vrabel.
No, my story is I didn't believe it, and I was right to not believe it.
Unbelievable.
There we go. Jared, your thoughts on Will Levis? He apparently has played very well through the first two practices in training camp. Brian Callahan continued to be very effusive in your praise. When do you start to, I guess, actually pay attention to the way that he's playing? Because I'm of the mindset this year that I don't really care about much that happens in training camp. I'm not going down that road again. But with the quarterback, it's been pretty consistent from Callahan for the last 4 months since he's taken the job.
I mean, here's, like, I begged when they fired Vrabel to not hire a defensive coach when I saw they were interviewing Dan Quinn and Aaron Glenn, and I really, really got nervous that they might actually hire a defensive coach. And so I wanted kind of the next guy out of the McVay-Shanahan womb to be the head coach, and that means over Bill Belichick. Like, I remember we were all talking about how can Bill Belichick not get a job, and it's like, well, you know, this team had an opening, and not one person who roots for it wanted Bill Belichick to be the coach, and I wanted an offensive quarterback coach. And so, I mean, I look at these guys like doctors. I know that we live in this society where everybody thinks they can do everybody's job better than the people that are experts and paid to do it, but I don't think that I am better than a dermatologist at looking at a skin rash and knowing what it is. So when Brian Callahan gets up there and starts, you know, effusively praising Will Levis and saying, hey, if he can keep stacking days like the first two, then he's going to be pretty good. I mean, unlike other people in the organization, Brian Callahan hasn't given me any reason to think that he's not telling the truth, that he would lie to me. So that does give me hope. Now, as far as, like, you know, Levis was 8 of 13 for – I don't care about that in training camp anymore because that's what led me down the path of believing in Chig and Burks. But I do think that he'll play a little bit in the preseason. Maybe a little bit of that will matter. I mean, again, I got too excited about Kenny Pickett last year in the preseason, so I don't want to get too above board on that. But I do think that Brian Callahan in practice – would not be super excited about the days Levis was having if he wasn't saying that to Levis. If he didn't actually believe that, he wouldn't put that out there in the press. He wouldn't throw him under the bus, but I don't think he'd get super excited about it. So that does, as a fan, give me a lot of optimism about what the coach, who I think is an expert, is seeing in the young quarterback.
I hear Sam Darnold's throwing some darts up there in Vikings camp.
And his coach is an expert too, Kevin O'Connell. And I talked to Randy Mueller, and Joe, where does Randy Mueller work? I forgot.
At the Athletic.
Oh, okay.
He must be lying. Did he lie to you?
What he must be saying, Joe has to believe. I mean, there's no Joe.
Yeah.
Joe is contractually obligated to believe that this is in fact true because it came out of the mouth of somebody who works at the Athletic. But I asked Randy Mueller, I said, if you're Minnesota, you know, would you rather pay a mid quarterback like a Tua or a, you know, 50-something million, or would you be better off with Sam Darnold at $10 million? And he said that he thinks they're going to be better off with Sam Darnold. He thinks, and he's a former GM, he thinks that Sam Darnold is actually going to have a really good year. And I heard that, and I thought, yes, finally somebody else is believing this. So I am a huge believer in Sam Darnold this season, and I am, when they play the Titans, hoping that J.J. McCarthy's out there. But I think it's pretty strong when Kevin O'Connell's coming out basically saying, like, yeah, we're going with Sam to start the year. Now, some people have told me that the beginning of their schedule is brutal, and that may just be a, hey, feed Sam to the Wolves and then put J.J. in there after it's over. But I'm a believer in Sam Darnold, and he's got the best receiver in the NFL, and he's got a good coach. And so I am aboard the Sammy D train.
There we go.
Did TD get after you yesterday for saying that your questions consistently lead to stories on ESPN? I hope he did. He said he was going to. He did not?
He did not.
Okay.
But TD's my
guy. He will, yeah.
By the way, the first six games.
You're definitely afraid of him and never challenge anything and cower.
That's not true.
Oh, yeah.
We got into it like 2 weeks ago about the ball bouncing their way.
Mm-hmm.
The first seven games for Minnesota, by the way, the Giants, the Niners, the Texans, the Packers, the Jets, the Lions, and the Rams. It's pretty tough.
Well, at least they got the Giants in there. I mean, that's woof. Goodness gracious. Yeah, I think if I had a rookie quarterback, I think I'd probably – I mean, like, even if Mason Rudolph was my backup to the rookie quarterback, I think I may put Mason out there for those first six games and not ruin the rookie quarterback's confidence. But then again, maybe Sam Darnold will go 4-2 in those, and then all of a sudden. The other thing, too, here's the thing I'm fascinated by. This Trent Williams thing with San Francisco. Because Trent Williams wants guaranteed money in the future. And Trent Williams might be, of all those great players they have, he might be the best player on that team. And I think the 49ers know that with Brock Purdy do $56 million at least next year, that, like, they're going to have to make some cuts, you know, to the budget. Like, and I think Debo's one they've kind of circled after this year. And I wonder if Trent Williams is one they've circled after this year, and that's why he's holding out, because he's like, no, we're not going to have this run up to the Super Bowl. We're not going to go all in this year. You're either going to pay me or I'm not going to play. And if that's the case, I might have to kick the tires on Trent Williams, bringing Trent Williams into left tackle, moving J.C. Latham back to right tackle, and then all of a sudden, I think that significantly changes the outlook of the Titans. I would guarantee Trent Williams money next year, even though he's 200 years old, because he's still good, and he's better than PT at right tackle. So that's the one I'm keeping an eye on here.
I would keep an eye on that, too. Jared, thanks for being with us. We'll be listening at 2 o'clock.
See you guys.
Jared Stillman, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. Was that therapeutic?
No, I mean, it's just, it's complete heartburn, verbal heartburn.
It brings me great joy. We'll take your reaction.
Glad, I'm glad that's true. Bully for you.
To what Jared said. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Got some tickets to give away to see Hootie and the Blowfish at Bridgestone Arena tomorrow. Be caller 5-615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Win a pair of tickets to see Hootie and the Blowfish at Bridgestone Arena coming up tomorrow. Lots of thoughts on the YouTube chat. Which, by the way, our text line is down. So if you want to get a hold of us, YouTube chat, or give us a call, 615-737-1025. Chef Rand says, Latham training with Trent Williams this offseason too. Deagle says, Jared for the third chair. Rex Road versus Jared with Robbie laughing off to the side is great content. By which way, I replied, it brings me immeasurable joy.
Yeah. Yeah. Stillmantics. I like that, Zach.
That's good.
That's good stuff. Chef Rand says he must be bitter about the Jared versus Joe loss. That's Jared who lost, who keeps losing. Zach can't spell athletic without L-I-E.
That is true. That is true.
Yes. Love it. Immeasurable joy. God.
I do enjoy the gymnastics that go on sometimes of, well, they said on The Athletic on Thanksgiving that he was going to ready, steady, Vrabel. He's going to be the coach, and now he's not. I'm right.
Thank you.
Enjoy that.
That's what people need to understand, and I hope you do, but if you don't, Robbie thinks this crap is as dumb as I do. Every bit as dumb as I do, but he just lets me do the yelling about it.
Oh,
and then
it's much
so
more
at
fun.
Some point I'm going to have a heart attack, and it's going to be on you. You need to jump in and do a little bit more yelling at him and let me, you know, like – Take one off. Like this whole. Okay, so I said the next day, oh, I don't believe it. This is the question I should have asked him. Okay, so did you not believe it because you thought eventually Amy was going to get to, like, she, it was headed that way, she was going to fire him? If that's the case, I give you credit. And,
sure.
And that is, I didn't think so at the time, so I was wrong. If you're saying I don't believe it because, oh, she just lied, and the whole plan is to get rid of Vrabel. You didn't say that. You didn't think that. No one thinks that. No one would say that because it's freaking stupid, so shut up and stop. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I don't have to do a Rex rant today, do I?
I don't think so.
I mean, aren't we, like, over-ranted at this point?
Yeah, we
might
be.
On the show? I think we're a little bit rant-heavy today. Thanks, Jared.
The Trent Williams idea is interesting. I have a tough time thinking
that
San Francisco is gonna let that happen.
I do, too. I mean, I like the thought. I don't think it's going to happen. There are a lot of thoughts like that, that it's worth a thought.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen. I think J.C. Latham is going to be the left tackle for the Tennessee Titans. And
so you talk about changing the calculus pretty quick. Like, if it was Trent Williams on the left, J.C. Latham on the right, I'd feel pretty good about the offensive line.
Yeah. Although Latham spent months now reprogramming his brain.
They figured it out.
You know, he'd be fine at right tackle. And, hey, maybe he will. Maybe he will end up being better as a right tackle. But, obviously, he is their left tackle. Really don't have a great feel right now. Like I said yesterday, you had the Auburn-Alabama quick little shove, and then he put Auburn in traction for a minute on a run play in shorts. So, you know, it's – it's
clearly powerful.
Yeah, with in the run game, he's gonna, wherever you line him up, he's going to be big time. But yeah, so far, I really haven't seen a lot of issues coming off that side. For whatever that's worth, I'd say keep it. You know, it's maybe not necessarily worth a ton at this point, but all signs positive. I know he was on with Chase and Big Joe yesterday. They were gushing about it afterward. He's another guy who, kind of like Levis, like you kind of have the idea like he's going to do whatever he can do to be great, and you can't say that about everybody.
You cannot. And I, you know, we talked about the initial concerns when they drafted him of him switching over to the left side. I mean, Bill Callahan's got enough of a track record and enough body of work that's been proven that I give him the benefit of the doubt and all that stuff. So until proven otherwise, I'm going to assume that he's going to coach J.C. Latham up in order to do it. Like that's the thing, and we tried to make this clear at the time they drafted him. I've never really questioned J.C. Latham's ability or talent. That's clear. Like if you watched him at Alabama at all, you get it. Like he's prototypical size. He's got a lot of power, a lot of ability, good athleticism, all that stuff. I just my initial reaction when they drafted him was, all right, so you're going to try to put him in a position he did not play in college. Like some people can do that, some people can't. And we've talked about this. There's probably going to be some bumps along the way, but everything we've talked about the positivity with Will Levis today. Everything I've heard about J.C. Latham seems to track to him being a really, really good player for them.
Yeah.
So good to see.
And then with both of them, it's still like, is Levis going to make that one throw on third and 11 in the fourth quarter? When Latham is playing some of the top pass rushers in the NFL, can the Titans leave him out there? It's a tremendous benefit for those years with Taylor Lewan to just say, that's you. And, you know, for the most part, he took care of his area.
Yeah, and you're not going to win them all, but
right.
Hold your own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was that one game against the Cardinals, but, well, you know.
In the extenuating
circumstances. Yeah.
Now back in a tackle.
Oh, everything is one, everybody.
We'll have more on the Titans coming up next. Taking your thoughts on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Join 1025 the game and Chase McCabe at Bicentennial Park in Nashville tomorrow from 10 to 2 as Subway's three dip and slides take over the park. Brave a 37-foot drop through a 22-foot lavish flatbread tunnel leading straight into Baja Chipotle Peppercorn Ranch and honey mustard sauce, colored water with a saucy consistency. Thrill-seeking footlog fans over the age of 18 must act quickly and visit SubwayDipAndSlide.com now to register for a coveted spot. I would love to see Chase McCabe out there taking place with this slide. As we know, he is the gatekeeper of all things athletics.
He is in the absolute like fraction of a percentage of athletes in the world.
There's no doubt.
Like very, very,
very rare air.
Chase McCabe. I just put this up on the chat. Sometimes you forget that you're awesome, so this is your reminder.
Thank you.
All of you in the chat except for Jared's burner. That basically everybody is unanimously on the right side of history here except for Jared's burner.
615-737-1025. Again, our text line down, so hit up our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, or the YouTube chat as well. We'll take your thoughts on all that. We're going to get into Hopkins a little bit later in terms of some of the comments that he had yesterday. How has Ridley looked to you through the first 2 days? Obviously, as you brought up, they've not been going deep, so it's not like he's, you know, running go routes and running past people out there. So it's a little bit different and not his total skill set on display. But what have you thought of Ridley the first couple of days?
He looks quick. He looks explosive. He's enjoyable to talk to also. Talking about the Cabo trip, and I saw somebody's video on this, so I apologize. I forgot who, but it was pretty funny. Like, yeah, it was like way too rich of a trip. he looks explosive, looks quick. I got him for two drops. I got him down for two drops. So take that or leave it. Take it for what it's worth.
It's a drop per day.
That is, yeah, I guess that would be. You're right. This actually, it's interesting. Ed Henry on the YouTube chat says, we all love Jim Wyatt. Why does he feel compelled to document completion percentage in camp? Does it mean anything? Surprise the team? I mean, you know, I don't know why it's a problem. I mean, document, whatever. We're going to document the kickers, yeah, right, and how they do. And some people keep track of drops, too. I think that's happening. I don't do that stuff, but, well, you know, it's all take it or leave it. I don't think there's anything wrong with documenting that, right?
No.
I mean, like Jim Wyatt's not saying, here is what Will Levis's completion percentage will be in the season because I have these stats from camp. You know, it's just telling people what's happened. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So, right now, I think I'm right. Two drops for Ridley, a couple that you definitely have to – maybe one of them was a little low, so I guess you could kind of go either way. And one of them was definitely a really good throw that he dropped. So, other than that, yeah, he looks fast. He looks quick. And I am interested to see, once they open up the field a little bit more, what goes on with him.
Yeah, it's an interesting approach by Callahan that way, and we'll see, you know, how quickly they start taking some deeper shots down the field. What about a tight end? Because – basically, the conversation that I'm hearing on tight end right now is Wiley, Chig, both look fine. Neither one of them really separating themselves. And my first thought when I hear that from a Titans fan is, number one, it's early in camp, so I get that. But number two, like, does that mean that both of them are going to be good this year, or does that mean that neither one of them are really good enough to be a tight end one? Like, that to me is still, when I look at the offense, and I know that tight end is going to be, we think, maybe a little bit less of a factor this year than it has been in the past. But it would still be great if one and or both of those guys could make some big plays for them. And I wonder, like, are either one of them good enough to be a legitimate tight end one in this league? I'm not saying that you have to be George Kittle or Travis Kelce or Mark Andrews, but are either one of those guys going to ultimately be good enough to be a good starting tight end in the National Football League?
Well, so far in camp, they've both actually made quite a few plays. I mean, Chig has been catching the ball really well. Again, like they're working the short, you know, they're working the short and intermediate. There's a lot to the tight ends. I think Wiley has definitely emerged. We've talked about that. Wiley has emerged. I would consider them co-starters. Are they tight end twos? Yeah, like, that's the thing. Like,
that's the thing. I hear co-starters, are either one of them good enough to be tight end one?
Well, that's the thing. Like you said, well, I'm not talking about George Kittle. Well, definitely not. Definitely not. So I don't know where they would slot in. You want Chig to take another step from last year. It looks like he's worked hard. Like I said, he's catching it. I think he's catching everything. He had the one fumble. Chance Campbell knocked the ball out, but he's catching it well. He's getting to spots to be able to receive the ball. Yeah, I don't think either of them is a star tight end. I think both of them are fine and can make plays. The blocking aspect, that's all we were talking about with Chig a year ago. Remember, it was all about, can Chig, you know, be an inline guy and then, you know, be on the field for more snaps and do everything a tight end needs to do. And now we're kind of back to Chig. I mean, is Chig going to be detached more and Wiley inline more? That'd be my guess right now. But also have to see Wiley and how he does in that aspect of the game. Last year was kind of a wash with him, but he's definitely stepped up. There's no doubt about it. I think Chig also has two. What is the ceiling there? It's not standout NFL tight end, probably, but I think you can be fine with them, and then you have to find the third guy. I know some people have talked about Vannett, if I'm saying his name correctly, is – I would say the third guy right now. Like I said, hey, Thomas Odukoya, he just keeps making plays out there, and he'll just take one, and all of a sudden he really can turn on the burners when he gets a little bit of space. The guy that I know Kaharski was gushing about, and some other people too, about the other guy, Martin Robinson, rookie out of Temple, David Martin Robinson. You notice him out there a little bit. You got the Iowa guy Stylianos, but yeah, I think those two guys are gonna be fine. I think they're gonna be solid players, and I think if they are solid players and everything else in the offense functions like you hope, that's fine.
Yeah, I'd say so. I just you're talking about two guys, and like you said, Wiley was a bit of a wash last year with the injuries and everything that took place. Chig was disappointing last year. I don't think there's any other way to slice it. He was disappointing last year. I thought there would have been and should have been another step that he took from his rookie season. So why didn't it happen? I don't know, but can it happen this year? Like, can he get back to being really dangerous with the football in his hand? That was probably the most disappointing part of last year, is there were about 3, 4, or 5 different plays in his rookie season where he got the ball in his hands and after made some plays where you're like, oh, okay. Like, it forced you to pay attention to him. And I don't remember one from last year. So can he become more of a weapon with the ball in his hand after the play, like we started to see in year one than we did in year two? That's a question for him this year.
Yeah. He kind of exceeded expectations, made those big plays last year, trouble catch the ball. Better late.
Yeah,
so that was good. He had something to build on at the end of the season. But, at some point, the Titans probably do have to, go get, if they want more of a difference maker at that position. That's what's hard, too, though, is, like, the best tight ends in this league weren't drafted that high.
Third round, fourth round.
Go high a lot, and then sometimes – now, usually if you pick an Iowa tight end, then he's going to be good.
Although, usually.
Like, again, Stylianos is an undrafted guy that they have here in camp. Like, everybody who played tight end in Iowa is not going to be good. But
no, we'll see.
But it's a hard position to nail down like that.
And we'll see, and speaking of tight ends drafted high, how does Bowers do this year with the Raiders? I mean, what's more information there? I know some Titans fans are going to be paying very close attention to that. He wanted Brock Bowers.
Got the Bowers, got the Dunze, and got Fashanu. Those three guys in particular.
Zach,
keep an eye on them.
On the text line, on YouTube, says, with the amount of pass catchers they have at running back, wide receiver, tight end, it's likely you won't see tight end one stat separately, but you will see them both combined for a tight end one stat line, which is fine. I think we'd probably take that.
And by the way, Zach's not actually in Scotland. Apparently that picture is from Scotland. I was going to say, if you're in Scotland right now and it's like midday and you're on vacation, what are you doing, man? But you know what?
Oh, we would appreciate you watching us in Scotland if that were the case.
I would, but also I wouldn't do it. So he also says having a running back coach as a tight end coach is a big reason for the lack of jump, as well as a heavy emphasis on blocking. Also, Zach thinks that the last staff didn't fix any mistakes, so that would be a thing too. If they never said that he made a mistake last year, then that probably didn't help him get better.
Well,
sorry, Zach.
We don't know that the offensive staff didn't correct mistakes.
That's true.
We just know that the defensive staff apparently did.
Yeah. But apparently the Tim Kelly. Yeah, he's a bozo. He was a bozo.
Okay.
According to Jared.
There we go. More takes coming today.
Just a bozo.
The Rex
no
rant.
No clue about football.
With Joe Rex Road
never
coming
saw
up next.
Football in his life.
Take your thoughts on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This week's Nashville's best deal is tickets to the Nashville Sounds Home Run Derby X at First Horizon Park on Saturday, August 31st. Buy two tickets now for only $30 and watch as MLB legends, top female players, and local Middle Tennessee hitters compete in an exciting 3-on-3 co-ed competition. Buy your tickets now at thegamenashville.com/deals and be a part of Home Run Derby X excitement. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Your captain, your quarterback.
Hey, you haven't played in years, why can't I be quarterback, huh?
You're right, let's see what you got. Right. Hit me, I'm open.
Hi.
That's why, now sit down and shut up.
Who is gonna crush?
The gods!
Who is gonna kill?
The gods!
Who is gonna kiss?
The gods!
Got you.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning here on the program. Nick Keyser, a big fan of the second Longest Yard movie.
Yeah, the Longest Yard reboot. How many reboots are actually good?
Not very many. Which apparently that's all Hollywood does now. Like, they can't come up with an actual new movie, so it's just let's remake everything.
Yeah, this good could stuff. This could. I almost want to pivot to that, but I'm going to quickly. I guess we've had some kid-related rants, like Jared. But here's something that I find a bit troubling with children today. A lot of things, okay? I mean, I believe the children are our future. Let them lead and lead the way. I, you know what I'm saying.
I do.
Yeah. No offense to the kids. Condiments, though. Why does ketchup have to be on everything?
You're a ketchup hater.
I love... No. A hamburger, cheeseburger, ketchup. Absolutely. French fries, ketchup. Okay. Oh, all day. I mean,
As we know, no brats. No brats with ketchup.
Well, I'm not even getting into that. I'm not even getting into the brats. That's insane to me. If you want to put ketchup on a hot dog, I don't like it. I'm mustard, and then you can throw relish too, but whatever. You want to put ketchup on a hot dog, fine. But a brat or like a really good sausage, I mean, you're going to be tailgating Wisconsin this fall. If you see one person up there with those amazing brats and sausages that puts ketchup on their crap.
I'm taking a picture.
Yeah. They'll get arrested. I promise you. They'll get ushered out of the state. I'm seeing things at my home. Macaroni and cheese.
Ooh.
What? Eggs. I know some people like that, but that's just nasty.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I know people do that. But macaroni and cheese?
No.
Chicken tenders.
That one I can accept. The macaroni and cheese is gross.
I'm trying. Ketchup. There's other stuff, too. Like, maybe I have some trauma here. You know, my aunt Donna, great lady, but she used to babysit me, and we used to have bologna and ketchup sandwiches, and it was really gross. And we still joke about it. Like, I was like, bologna, this is the nastiest thing. I love bologna. Like, a bologna sandwich with mustard on it is great.
Yeah.
Bologna and ketchup sandwiches are nasty, man. They are nasty. And I just don't know. I think that might be my thing. But, again, I love ketchup on fries.
Sure.
I will have – if I have French fries, and I have a problem eating French fries, that's probably like my biggest weakness. I mean, I will gob the ketchup on it.
Yeah.
So I get my ketchup sugar fix as appropriate. But some of this stuff is they just put ketchup on everything.
I'll tell you another one. Like, ranch gets put on everything. And there are some things that it's really good on.
With chicken.
Yeah. Chicken's good. My wife will not eat pizza without having ranch. Like, she's got to have some ranch to dip it in.
Gross.
Yeah. It's just like it's.
That's very gross.
Like, literally will not eat pizza unless there's ranch.
What if you have, like, really good pizza?
She will not do it unless there's ranch around.
Don't put ranch on the really good pizza.
She just won't do it. So, like, it's the stuff that people – now, I will say, I've experimented with some things to put ranch on. Like, you know, I'll put ranch on some tacos every now and then. It's pretty good. Good stuff. But
– dude, that's nasty.
No, dude. Give it a shot.
Do you like sour cream?
Yeah.
Okay, because that's – I'm big on sour cream in the tacos, but ranch.
Just give it a shot one time.
I don't know, man. But Zach's with me. Youths have a weird obsession with ketchup. I think it's just, steak is, I mean, no, we don't go there. I have not seen steak. That's, Zach says, mac and cheese, kick the child out of the house or call the FBI. Fries or meatloaf? Big League Designs. That's probably, fries, meatloaf. No, cheeseburgers are great. Nate says, my cousin used to put ketchup on ribs, and my dad almost dies because he's
ribs.
Ribs. Oh my God. That is such food abuse. Like, if you have a really good, like, you got a smoker and you're making ribs and you put ketchup on that stuff. I mean, I didn't even get into, like, steak or anything like that. That's just like, I mean, it's food abuse.
Well, speaking of steak, one of my buddies in college, we used to, you know, every now and then we'd scrape up enough money to go to, like, a Logan's Roadhouse back then or something.
Sure, sure.
So we'd get in there and he'd order a steak. And he'd cut that thing up. He'd be, just, you know, normal. We're just having a conversation. He gets the vat of ketchup and just squeezes it all over the steak.
What?
And I was like, what are you doing, man?
Oh, my God.
What is happening to you?
It's worse than I thought. I was complaining, and I didn't realize how bad it was in the world.
Yeah. Just drowning your steak in ketchup. He's the only person I've ever seen do it.
I mean, I like steak that's bloody, so it kind of looks like ketchup. I don't want actual ketchup. Jacob Smith says ketchup with grilled cheese, incredible.
Oh, my God.
So one of my specialties is grilled cheese. You can ask anybody in the family. And I'm a big tomato soup guy. I dip it in the tomato soup. But ketchup?
I don't know that I can't say I've ever tried ketchup on grilled cheese.
I mean, I guess that's not that huge of a difference, tomato soup. But that sounds nasty. Steak and ribs. I actually didn't know this was as bad as it is.
My middle brother, when we were growing up, used to take the ketchup and the mustard and mix them together.
Okay.
It was like some ketchup mustard mix. And then with see that part of it, it's kind of gross anyway.
Yeah.
Then he would take you know the Pringles that have the cheese, like the cheddar Pringles.
Uh-huh.
He would take the cheddar Pringles and dip them in the ketchup mustard mix and eat the cheddar Pringles. It was so gross.
I mean, that sounds way better than the ketchup on the steak. Well, so the ketchup mustard together, again, some people do it on the hot dog. I don't like it. Get ketchup away from my hot dog. But corn dogs.
Okay.
So if I have a corn dog, I will do ketchup and mustard, and they kind of do mix them together.
Corn dog's underrated.
Corn dog's underrated. I mean, talk about, you know, coronaries and whatnot.
Yes.
But corn dogs, a good corn dog. What about, we also have at my home, we have in the freezer the corn dog, but they're like it's like the pancake.
Oh, yeah. I've seen those.
Nasty.
I don't know if I've ever had one, but I've seen those.
I don't know. I didn't buy those. Nasty. What about mixing salsa with queso? Yeah, I'm all right with that.
That's fine.
Sun-dried tomatoes on grilled cheese? Okay. I think tomatoes and grilled cheese go fine, but ketchup is just...
You know what goes real good with grilled cheese? Bacon.
Oh,
put some bacon on that thing.
Yeah,
I mean, bacon goes pretty well with just about anything.
Bacon works with anything. I'll mix in the different meats. I sometimes surprise them. I usually do two types of cheese, usually a Swiss and a cheddar, but sometimes mix up. But, yeah, I'll throw in a little whatever.
So you're not a fan
bacon.
Of not a fan of ranch with pizza? Have you ever had, like, a pizza with ranch-based sauce? So rather than the tomato sauce, it's ranch-based.
That's the sauce on the pizza? I don't think so. I mean, I've had white sauce, but that's not that.
No, that's
Alfredo,
I guess.
Right,
I don't know.
Yeah. No, interesting. I mean, I would do that. Yeah, I mean, if I'm eating so-so pizza that's not great, like, you know, but that's why you get breadsticks with the ranch.
Yeah.
Then you keep them separated. Rub some bacon on it. There you go.
Zach says, what about Ohio ruling that boneless wings can have bones? That's the real story.
Wait, what does that
mean? Must have missed that.
What does that mean?
I don't know. How do boneless wings have bones?
Boneless wings is one of the grossest things in all of food. I don't want a fake – it's just a chicken tender. I want to eat the chicken.
Bone in.
The bones. Yeah, that's – wings are great. Boneless wings are just – it's like AI food.
I used to have boneless wings all the time when I was a poor college kid because they ran that special at Buffalo Wild Wings, either on Tuesdays or Thursdays. I can't remember which one.
Yeah, Tuesdays.
Yeah. Where it was you know, boneless Tuesday.
Yeah, and that's fine. Like if it's something like that, then go. Because they used to have also a regular wing thing, too, that was cheap, but that was a long time ago. Deagle says, Joe is trauma dumping his childhood food. Yeah, well, I haven't even gotten into what my mom made me eat my liver and made me finish my liver, and I kept trying to put out my brother's plate.
Did you have ketchup?
That's one where I wish, drown it in ketchup.
There's very few things that I drown anything in. I will say when I, not that I do ketchup here, but when oysters are involved, I got to have a pretty significant amount of hot sauce. Pretty significant amount.
Okay. I mean, I'll go.
The texture's pretty gross.
Again, oysters. We keep hitting all these foods where I'm like, I'll eat that all day. I'll eat that. I would eat. A lot of oysters, any way you want them. Oysters Rockefeller, but yeah, I like the hot sauce on there too. Sure,
gotta drown it in hot sauce. Yeah. So, a ketchup epidemic is what we're trying to stop here.
Keezer, you have any food takes you'd like to throw in before we go to break?
Let me think. I don't.
Now, if you got
think
a thing,
any
then,
crazy?
No, I mean, that's all right.
No,
do you put,
I like
ketchup on your steak.
No, I told you guys once that I put Chick-fil-A sauce on my scrambled eggs.
Yeah. That's
a
weird.
A little. Not a lot.
I
but just
kind
a little.
Of don't hate it, even though it initially weirded me out. Yeah. Chick-fil-A sauce is pretty good.
Yeah. Chick-fil-A sauce is pretty good.
Yeah, it is.
It's not as good as a Polynesian, but it's pretty good.
615-737-1025. Our phone number. You can use ketchup in a lot of different things. We'll have Teron Davenport coming up next. Get his thoughts on what he's seen for the Titans to this point in training camp. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.